It's 7:30 on this West Virginia morning. I'm Beth Voorhees. Tom Hart is helping the citizens of Grafton turn their town around.
Everybody is, really seems to be working together on this. And you know, to turn this town around has really brought on a new spirit of collaboration and communication among people in the community.
And our Mountain Stage Song of the Week, coming up on this West Virginia morning. Our political talk show Viewpoint premieres this morning at 9 o'clock. Host Ashton Mara will discuss the possible Republican takeover of the West Virginia House of Delegates with House Speaker Democrat Tim Miley and House Minority Leader Republican Tim Armstead. So this morning, a review of the state's political landscape. Southern West Virginia has traditionally been a Democratic stronghold, but an article in the Washington Post last fall reported that is starting to change, with a decline in the coal industry's production and a president enacting stronger regulations on it. The politics are shifting toward the right. At least that's what the article claimed. But can it be said that a trend in Southern West Virginia is actually happening across the entire state? Ashton Mara has the second part in our series on West Virginia's changing political climate.
Just about everybody you talk to can tell you of a grandfather or, you know, a great-grandfather who actually came to West Virginia to make a life for themselves and their family and find economic opportunity in the coal mines.
Karen Tumulty is a national political correspondent for the Washington Post and spent time this summer traveling southern West Virginia, talking to people.
The coal miner is such a part of the shared heritage of West Virginia that it really, you know, the industry has a significance, I think, that goes much, much deeper than economic statistics will tell.
But as the industry struggles, West Virginians often look to place the blame. And State Democratic Party Chairman Larry Puccio says today that blame is being shifted to Washington.
Well, the truth of the matter is I think that West Virginians believe not only the president is not doing enough to support the coal industry, they truly believe that the president, with some of his beliefs and restrictions, is harming the industry.
Puccio says leaders from his party inside the Beltway are making it clear they stand against the president and his position on coal. But with each election, the Democratic Party in West Virginia appears to be growing weaker as more and more Republicans are taking office. At least, that's how Tumulty depicts the party in her article, A Blue State's Road to Red.
The southern part of the state has traditionally been the most deeply Democratic part of the state. That is where the Democratic Party has always gotten the bulk of its of the votes with which it won statewide.
But Tumulty says that trend is changing. At the federal level, West Virginians are slowly turning away from their Democratic roots and voting Republican. She writes, quote, "What's happening in West Virginia runs against the tide nationally, and even more, against the pull of its own history."
If I have difficulty with the story, it is its concentration on the narrative in southern West Virginia.
Dr. Robert Rupp is a professor of history at West Virginia Wesleyan College. He questions Tumulty's ability to assert the entire state is experiencing this change in party when she focused only on one region.
Now, 50 years ago, southern West Virginia was the key economic driver. It was the key to the Democratic Party. It held political power. But now, in the 21st century, we have seen a rapid decline in all those factors, in terms of population, in terms of the economy, and in terms of political clout. So if you just visit this one section of where there is a decline in West Virginia, it's an interesting narrative to ask how those citizens are reacting. But I think it's a warped strategy because you're ignoring what's happening in the West, in the rest of the state.
Rupp says the political center of the state is moving in a northeastern direction. Earl Ray Tomlin is the first governor since 1965 to truly come from southern West Virginia. Today, both the state House and Senate are led by northerners.
If you're really talking about looking at the entire state, then why visit those counties that have lost population rather than visit those counties that have gained in population and gained in the economy? There's a entire picture of West Virginia that is lost to a national audience when the focus of outside journalists are simply on one area in the southern part.
Tumulty counters she interviewed members of the governor's staff who represent the entire state. Both U.S. senators who, again, together represent the entire state, and writes of the booming shale industry in the northern counties and a panhandle thriving as a suburb of D.C.
But what I was looking for was a way of explaining the transformation. And again, most of that transformation has been happening in the very deeply Democratic bastions of coal country.
Rupp, however, says he does agree with Tumulty's thesis that the state is transitioning between the two political parties. After all, the 3rd Congressional District is the only remaining seat in the U.S. House held by a Democrat in West Virginia. Historically, he says West Virginia is joining in with its southern cousins who followed the trend decades ago, but believes the other regions of West Virginia are still important to understanding the political change.
And I think if we really want to understand this transition, we have to be able to examine and explore what is happening politically in the other sections of the state, particularly in the Panhandle, because that's the fastest growing region, and any political party that is able to get the edge in that section will probably dominate the state, just as the Democrats were able to get the edge in the southern part 50 years ago and were able to dominate the state for a long time.
Tumulty says West Virginia will be a state to watch come the 2016 election. She contends that there's still a chance the right type of Democrat could win the state's vote for president and make a difference, even though it only carries 5 votes.
Well, if Al Gore had those 5 votes, he would be building his presidential library about now.
For West Virginia Public Radio, I'm Ashton Mara in Charleston.
And Viewpoint producer host Ashton Mara joins us. Good morning.
Good morning, Beth.
This talk show will run through the campaign season. What do you want this show to convey to listeners?
We're working to make Viewpoint a show that cuts through all of that political noise out there and brings you real, in-depth conversations with the candidates, an analysis of what the midterm elections, an analysis of the midterm election races, so they help you understand the issues. We'll talk with mainstream candidates, but we're also giving third parties a platform so the voters know that, you know, there are more choices out there on election day. And then every show will wrap with a roundtable discussion focused on the news of the day. Mm-hmm. So the current events of that week from the campaigns.
Tell us about today's discussion between the Tims, as they're known in the House.
Today on our show is House Speaker Tim Miley and Minority Leader Tim Armstead, and I'll be asking them about that possible shift in power in the state House of Delegates. The GOP, as of now, only needs 4 seats to take over the majority in the lower chamber. So we'll talk a little election strategy, but also about the issues each party will prioritize for the upcoming session. You know, after Election Day, there's only about 2 months, and then they have to get underway.
And what about next week? Go ahead and forward promote.
Next week, Ken Rudin will join us. He's the host of NPR's political show, Political Junkie. Ken will be helping us fit the West Virginia congressional races into the national picture. What races in West Virginia are getting national attention and why?
We're looking forward to Viewpoint premiering this morning at 9 o'clock. And our listeners can join the discussion on Twitter at #ViewpointWV. Ashton Mara, good luck.
Thank you.
This is West Virginia Morning at 7:39. Some fog this morning, becoming mostly sunny today with a chance of rain and thunderstorms. Temperatures in the 80s to near 90 degrees. Rain and thunderstorms tonight. Lows in the 60s. Rain and thunderstorms likely on Saturday with highs in the 80s.
Support for West Virginia Public Radio is provided by the New River Gorge Regional Development Authority, working to diversify the economy in the New River Gorge region of West Virginia, serving Fayette, Nicholas, Raleigh, and Summers counties. NRGRDA.org.
The citizens of Grafton will be gathering downtown this evening for First Friday, an initiative that's grown out of the Turn This Town Around project. As Sarah Lowther Hensley reports, the goal is to promote downtown Grafton by hosting special events and activities and extending downtown business hours on the first Friday of every month.
If you travel to downtown Grafton this evening, you'll be able to catch a comedy troupe at the Manos Theater, shop at the Farmers Market, eat your fill at the Elks Shrimp Feed, stop by open houses at numerous shops, get your picture taken, and participate in a number of activities. And if you're a teacher, the International Mother's Day Shrine is hosting a Teacher's Appreciation Tea with special treats including 15-minute massages, Mary Kay satin hands treatment, pottery painting, prizes, school supply giveaways, live music, and, of course, tea. Other cities and towns have experimented with similar monthly events, and the idea seems to have some traction. Tom Hart is spearheading the efforts in Grafton. He says Grafton organizers took note of what other places have tried, borrowed what they liked, and made adjustments to suit the local scene. He says the First Friday effort has benefited from the Turn This Town Around project.
It connects with Turn This Town Around with promoting our downtown area specifically, but also highlighting the notion to support local businesses. You know, the more dollars that are spent locally transfers into more dollars available locally. And so that's what that's all about. And it's trying to highlight downtown Grafton as being the place to go on the first Friday of every month.
This is only the second First Friday in Grafton. Hart says plans are to continue at least through December and then perhaps take a break in the middle of winter. He says that's still being discussed. But there is a sense of excitement about moving forward.
Everybody really seems to be working together on this. And you know, the Turn This Town Around has really brought on a new spirit of collaboration and communication among people in the community. And that's a tremendous thing because, you know, the synergy that we get from that is just tremendous. It's like atomic power.
Mary Phillips owns a downtown business, Something Country. She also credits Turn This Town Around for a new community spirit.
As much as anything is people's attitudes. I mean, they want to do something to make it look better. And, yeah, they're working on it, and I think it's wonderful.
You got to do something to bring this town alive, and so if anything I can do, I'll be there.
That's Charlie White, who owns C.L. White Photography in downtown Grafton. He says he's excited about First Friday and plans to be on hand. White predicts that as word spreads about First Fridays, the monthly crowds will continue to grow. This evening's activities run from 4 to 8. For West Virginia Public Radio, I'm Sarah Lowther Hensley in Grafton.
The Appalachian Queer Film Festival will host showings of the documentary The Campaign in Charleston tonight and Huntington Monday. Clark Davis has the story.
As a kickoff to their film festival in late October in Lewisburg, the Appalachian Queer Film Festival will host a showing of The Campaign, along with the Kanawha Players Theater. The Campaign, which was filmed over a four-year period, examines the fight to defend same-sex marriage against Proposition 8 in California. Tim Ward is the founder and director of the AQFF.
It's just a really great documentary that sheds light on the activism that happened in California to really kind of change hearts and minds as it relates to LGBTQ issues.
Ward says it's an opportunity to make more people in West Virginia aware of the ongoing fight to legalize same-sex marriage.
So I think that, you know, even though, you know, this documentary is dated to Proposition 8 in California, the subject matter and kind of the fight that's happening here in West Virginia makes it extremely relevant.
In July, a three-judge panel of the 4th U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals ruled that Virginia's ban on same-sex marriage was unconstitutional. As of the ruling, 20 states and the District of Columbia issued license for same-sex couples. Ward says the ruling, although it didn't directly affect the state, is a big step for the LGBT community.
it's kind of a tide change, right? Like each time one of these rulings comes down and it's in the positive for LGBT rights, I think it only has like an amazing effect on the rest of the United States, as well as here in the Mountain State. You really see people's kind of ideas start to shift about what it means to be tolerant and accepting of LGBTQ people.
Monday night, the Appalachian Queer Film Festival will show the documentary on Marshall's campus at 7:30. The two showings lead up to the four-day film festival in Lewisburg, October 23rd through the 26th. It's a submission-based film festival that will also feature discussions, lectures, and musical performances. Ward says there is no better time than now for changes to be made in the state.
I don't think that equality in particular should ever be up for debate. People should be able to, you know, love who they choose and not having an impact on their housing or their work life. It shouldn't even be a conversation, but because it is a conversation, I think, you know, it's important to frame it in the right way.
Doors open at the Canal Players Theater at 7 tonight in Charleston. For West Virginia Public Radio, I'm Clark Davis.
Toad the Wet Sprocket made their first appearance on Mountain Stage near the beginning of their career in 1992. Here they are with Walk on the Ocean on this Mountain Stage Song of the Week.
We spotted the ocean, the head of the jail. And where are we going? So far away. Somebody told me this is the place where everything's better and everything's safe. Walk on the ocean, step on the stones, fresh becomes water.
The Wet Sprocket with Walk on the Ocean. You can hear this song again and more music Saturday night at 8 on Mountain Stage right here on West Virginia Public Radio. West Virginia Morning is a production of West Virginia Public Broadcasting, which is solely responsible for its content. Keep up with all the latest West Virginia news throughout the day on our website, wvpublic.org. We welcome your comments. You can send them to feedback@wvpublic.org. Support for our news bureaus comes from Shepherd University, West Virginia University, Marshall University, and Concord University. West Virginia Morning is produced with the assistance of Suzanne Higgins, Clark Davis, Jessica Lilly, Glennis Board, Dave Mistich, Roxy Todd, Sarah Lowther-Hensley, and Liz McCormick. Our theme music is by Matt Jackfert. Our producer is Ashton Mara. Our director is Teresa Wills. I'm Beth Voorhees.